Well, hi everyone. My name is Matt, and it's good to see you guys. We are, as you of course know, in the season of Advent, which is a time of preparation. It's a time when we look back, in a sense, to the birth of Jesus and the gift that he was and is to the world. And so we kind of look back, but we're looking forward to this Christmas season and to once again receiving Jesus into our lives, and to once again making room for him in our lives. The Apostle John, this is basically his version of the Christmas story. It's a little shorter than Matthew and Luke. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so we look forward once again to this past event, to the hope that we have in Jesus, to the gift that he is and what he means for all of us. And then to borrow from Shane from last week, not only do we look forward to that, but Advent is a time when we look even forwarder, we know that's not a word, but we look forwarder to Jesus' return, because that's something that he promised to do. And I recognize that that may seem strange or bizarre to some, but he also said that he would rise from the dead, unlikely, and he did that. So we just take him at his word. And so we're reminded in Advent that we live really in the in-between. We live in between his birth and life and death and resurrection and ultimately his return. And in the meantime, in this in-between, we don't just sit around here and do nothing, right? In the meantime, we gather and then go out again in his name. That's called being the church. And we're invited to follow him. We're invited to keep in step with his Spirit and where the Spirit is leading us. We're called to come alongside him and to be his hands and feet in the world and to point others to him. And so, just want to kind of step back for a moment. Much of our story as a church, much of our journey together so far has been about, and we haven't done this perfectly, but trying to keep in step with Jesus, where he's leading us next. And we recognize that we are a small part of the Big C church. And so we're called to do our part and to stay close to him and to follow him. 6.5 years ago, what originally started as a young adult ministry of Union Chapel, 6.5 years ago, we met here for our first Sunday as a new church. And I will never forget how I felt that day. Super excited. We've done a lot of work to get ready for that moment, so I was really looking forward to it. I was also quite nervous. I was a bit sick to my stomach because we didn't know what was going to happen. I recall I signed my name on the initial one-year contract here at the convention center, which means if it didn't work, I'm left going, remember that time I rented a convention center for a year for nothing? But thankfully, and of course it wasn't just me, we had this sense that this was what God was calling us to do. That was our next step, and that our job, and in fact our mission as a church, is to invite people to find hope in Jesus. And God was faithful, and people showed up, and we just kept taking our next step, and we added ministries, and we added staff, and small groups began growing and multiplying, and people were getting baptized, and babies dedicated, and lives were being transformed, including my own. You know, I'd like to say, we've never really had like a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year big strategic plan. Nothing against that. There's just nothing wrong with that. It's just not really how my brain, like, I'm just like, what's the next thing in front of us? And I sometimes wish I was better at that kind of a thing. I guess in my defense, you don't find, you know, Jesus or the disciples or Paul going, in the next 3 years or in 5 years, and we'll move to this region. And I don't know. Whatever your thing is, I'm just saying how it works for me. We've just tried to take the next step. A couple of years ago, we sensed God calling us to take another step of faith and to commit the next 10 years to the people of Calatu, Nicaragua, through our partnership with Food for the Hungry. And again, not knowing how that would turn out, and we still don't, we got involved. And you all, you responded by sponsoring 100 kids in Calatu, Nicaragua. And several of you have now been to the village on one of our mission trips. You've got several more going on our 2 trips coming up in 2018. And so we're just starting our third year of that partnership and just another step in our journey and our growth as a church. And perhaps the question that we've gotten more than any other over the years in terms of what's next for Common Way, where are we going next? It's the church building question. And it comes up every single year in our annual church meeting, and we say the same thing pretty much every time. I feel like a broken record. We have said, we recognize we're probably not going to be here forever, and as viable options or potentially viable options come up, we pray about those and we look into them. We haven't found anything. The good news is we're content where we are. I mean, things are working out, and we know that when and if God gives us another direction, we'll respond to that. And then, of course, you remember the hotel was built a couple years ago? Anyone remember that? For like 2 years, the dirt, and you can't get to the building here. Of course, that was built in part, you know, in hopes that that would pick up convention center business, and things did start to pick up here on Sunday mornings in terms of other people using the building. And our Common Way Kids Ministry, we got moved from upstairs next door to the Children's Museum because there was increased demand for space upstairs on Sunday. But we still have space. We're still here. It's fine. Now, just a bit of background here. When we started here, we signed our contracts here for like a year out. And then as things went on, that got shortened to 6 months and then 3 months. And then for the past year, we've basically been contracting barely for 1 month. So we just signed the contract for January. Some of you are like, I didn't even know that I should be nervous about that. But again, it's worked out just fine. Part of that is to give flexibility to the convention center for future business. It's unlikely, you know, we've signed for January. It's unlikely a big convention is going to come in and kick us out in February. But what might happen or what could potentially happen is another event that's using, say, the room next door in February. You know, when they get closer to the time, they go, actually, we need a little more room, and they want to be able to move things around. So that's part of the reason for that. All that to say, nothing against the convention center. They've been really, really great to work with, and their staff is amazing. We recognize that we're not their primary purpose or mission, and that's fine. We actually knew that going into this 6.5 years ago. I mean, they would love for nothing more than for this place to be filled up every weekend, every Sunday with convention business. And by the way, that would be really great for Muncie. All that to say, we've never been panicked about any of this, just aware is all. Really. And just aware, what's going on? In the last year and a half, I would say that I have started to feel more urgency, along with our board, around the building question and our future. And one of the reasons I just mentioned, kind of our security and long-term future here, but that's only part of the story. You add to that kind of the volunteer equation and the setup and the teardown and all of that. It's a lot of work. And we've noticed, especially in the past year, a little bit of a tipping point in people just getting tired. And some of you, you used to do this, and you got tired, and you got burnt out. Others of you, you've done this for 6.5 years, and you're pretty worn out. And I totally get that. It's a lot of work. And then, so there's the building, the future, there's the our volunteer situation, and really just number three, a growing sense that we've had that it's time to find a church home. It's getting to be time. And again, we don't have any answers, but in the background, just so you know, we've looked at 3 potential buildings in the past 6.5 years. That's not a lot, but we've looked at literally anything that we've found that might be viable. You can understand that, you know, not just anything will work from a space requirements need for a group of people this size and parking and all that. But we haven't found anything. So my prayer the past year has basically been, God, you know what's next. And I can't think of any options, but we trust you, and this is in your hands. And then I do the thing where, do you ever pray and you remind God of, like, the details? Like, God, I'm just saying, you do understand. This is complicated. There are a lot of moving parts, and, like, we can't wait until this absolutely doesn't work and people are burnt out and we're kicked out or whatever. We can't wait for that to start the process of finding a new home, right? Because that's, God, you realize it's probably like a year process. And oh, by the way, we've found a potential place like 1 every 2 years. So not exactly like a ton of leads. So anyway, okay, God, just making sure you're aware. Amen. Does anyone else do that besides me? I don't know why I do that. Jeremy mentioned something last week about there being some kind of big announcement today. So do you want the good news or do you want the bad news first? I'm just kidding. I have nothing but great news to share with you this morning. And this is a huge moment in the life of our church. Dramatic pause. We now have a church home. And I know you want more information, I understand. A lot of questions that raises. If you're not immediately thrilled about this, I'm going to guess that you're probably not involved in one of our setup teams or a Common Way Kids volunteer. So I want to walk you through basically all the information that we have in terms of the what, the when, the how much, and all of that. And if you're here for the first time, welcome, and you sure know how to pick them. So you can see on the map, you are here. That is the Horizon Convention Center. We are going to be moving all the way over here. So three whole blocks away. And this also means that against all odds, we get to stay downtown. Now this, the building, is the former Work One building, the unemployment office. And this is now looking south, looking from the north south. They were there for the past 20 years, and they've recently relocated due to downsizing. And some of you will remember, although this will show your age, that this was originally built as what? JCPenney, yep. Original JCPenney store in downtown. Now, from the moment we first checked this out, 2 months ago, we had a sense that, I think it would take some work and some vision, but this very well could be the place that God is providing and leading us to next. This might be our next step. And so we as a church elder board and as a staff spent the past few months praying and seeking God about this and asking questions and getting people whose expertise we needed involved in the process. And just after this time of prayer and discernment and due diligence, the elder board landed unanimously on moving forward with this property. Now, here is a rendering of the building. Pretty cool, huh? Some of this, we're definitely going to kind of freshen up the outside. Some of the glass, like the glass wall there, we probably aren't going to do that initially, but we've got some great ideas for down the road. At this point, we want to choose to get the inside remodeled because it's hard to do that once you're in the building. So we're going to focus our energy and resources there for now. Let me just say this. Literally every person that we've had in this building, they had the same response. Every person in the building as part of this process has said the exact same thing. This is a lot bigger than it looks like. And it is. There's a small kind of mezzanine that goes across the front of the building, a small second floor. The main floor, the ground floor, is 20,000 square feet. And there's a full lower level, which is an additional 20,000 square feet. So over 40,000 square feet. I don't know how big your house is, but you can do the division there, okay? Of course, there's going to be room for a substantial auditorium. It does not look like this now. And there's really no one place you can stand, like no one point of view to capture the whole room. But this is pretty much it. It's over 6,000 square feet. We can get 500 chairs in there, for a fact, comfortably, and actually quite a bit more than that if we need to. That's actually not, these aren't windows, that's just a lighted sample kind of stage backdrop. Now, we don't have any more renderings to show you because it gets pretty expensive to do a bunch of these. But the building has plenty of room for all of our current and foreseeable ministries to have their own dedicated space. On the lower level, and there's great access to that, an elevator and all that, we have planned about 7,000 square feet of dedicated children's ministry space. That's incredible, yeah. Our Common Way, Jill DuBois, our children's pastor, and our volunteers have been shuffled all over the place the past 6.5 years, and they have done a great job of making work what we have. But you also understand it's pretty difficult to come in and have an hour or so on Sunday morning to really turn that into an exciting and engaging environment designed for kids. And okay, if you had to decorate for Christmas and you had an hour to do so every week, and then after you had to put it all back and do that again every single week, you understand the limitations that we're up against. But again, they've made it work, and it's been great up to this point. Less than ideal, but it's worked. Same thing for youth space. They'll have on the lower level also 2,000 square feet of dedicated space. Right now, we rent space at the living room on Sunday nights for our youth. It's a venue right next to the bus station. Not really great for students. And fortunately, I don't think we've broken too many things. And we've only lost like a few hot dogs under the floorboards. Only a few, don't ask. But again, our youth pastor Bobby and his volunteers have done an awesome job with that. My point is when this is all done. And of course, we'll have great space for gathering like this and for worship. But I think you'll see when it comes to how we're spending money and our priorities that we are very clearly prioritizing our children and our youth and making an investment in them. We want to create environments where they can grow in their faith and invite their friends. The building will also have a mid-sized room that holds 60, 70 people or so. We're talking about adult ministries space. You guys are important too. So space for men's ministry, women's ministry, Bible studies, workshops, events, college events. Last month we held our Phases parenting workshops, and we had those in different places around town. So things like that will be gathered in this space. We'll have our church offices, which currently meet in another rented place in town, the Innovation Connector. Right now, they'll be in the new building. Right now, we have seven of us in one office, which you wonder why you see me at the caffeinery pretty much any time you go there. Nothing against the staff. That was just a personal space. Yeah. There's the question of parking. You can see the building is pretty much surrounded by parking, which is not the nicest thing to look at, but it makes parking convenient. The yellow areas are all the closest parking spots. Now, there is another church, The Jar, that is currently meeting at the YMCA, right to the south of the building. And so they have their own lot to the east, and there's actually something else to the south off the map. There could be some potential overlap. I've already talked to the pastor, Chris Bunch, and we're definitely working together to figure out how to manage that. The point is, there's plenty of parking for everybody. We'll just see how it all shakes out. All right. Moving forward, we are going forward with leasing the building, and here's the important part, with the option to buy down the road if we decide to do so. There are currently a couple of other tenants leasing office space in the building, so we want to be good neighbors to them. As of now, we're leasing, you know everything I've just described? We're leasing 20,000 of the available 40,000 total square footage. And so what that means is on top of the space that we're leasing, so you take the space we're leasing plus the space someone else is already in, there's still an additional 10 or 12,000 square feet that we just go, we can't think of anything to use this for, and we're paying by the square foot. So the nice thing is we can add that space later. We have the right of first refusal on additional space, which means if anybody else comes along and wants that unused space, they can only get it if we say that we don't want it for anything. So I know you know what that means, but just in case. Let's see what else. We have in our contract right now with the building owners an agreed upon purchase price. And so at the start of year four of our lease, we are eligible to buy that building at that time, at that price, then or any time going forward. Now, this is important because it does a couple of really important things for us. Number one, we know that we're not putting money into renovating a building that we have no chance of owning. Two, we know the price now, and I mean, I doubt the market in Muncie explodes in the next few years, but we're not gonna get priced, it could. It would be great. We're not gonna get priced out of the building. That's the second thing that's important. The third thing is because we know the initial renovation cost right now, plus the potential purchase price, the elder board was able to look at that total number and to say, yeah, we feel really comfortable with that total picture if we go kind of all in down the road. So what this does, and there's a couple of advantages, this allows us to have all the advantages of basically a 24/7 space with expanded ministry opportunities. What we don't have here now with an hour and a half on Sunday. So we have all those advantages. And we really, for the next several years, keep the one advantage that we have here, which is what we pay for this is a fixed one single line item in our budget, which means that going forward, we pay rent, which includes utilities, and the building maintenance and upkeep and all that will continue to be on the owners. So we are moving forward with the probability, I would say, that we purchase the building down the road, but we haven't made that decision yet because we don't need to. And the other thing is, if in, say, 5 years we find out the building's not working for us or we need something else or whatever, we're free to go. So there's some flexibility there as well. Now, total renovation costs, we are looking at right around $500,000. This includes everything. This includes adding and removing walls. We got to take out a drop ceiling in the auditorium because right now it's like 9 feet tall. Moving walls around in the children's space, adding furniture. There's lots of lighting, some electrical work. There's some HVAC upgrades, which it works fine right now, but you put 400 people in a room and the air conditioner's like, I don't like this. And so we need a little bit more oomph. And so we're going to upgrade that on pieces like that. The building owners are going to share in some of that cost with us. We're putting in an additional restroom in the Commonway Kids area. Chairs. Does anyone have any idea how much 600 plus chairs cost? More than you think. And you can Google that when you get home. Sound and lights in the auditorium and on and on. So that's $500,000 for everything with a little bit of breathing room for inevitable unknowns. And I just want to say that we're not going crazy with this. We're not trying to build the Crystal Cathedral. Some of you don't even know what that is. There's a lesson there. Our goal is to make this space functional and inviting. And we want to try to do things right the first time so we're not piecemealing or going back and redoing things down the road. All in all, and this will mean something only to a few of you, but construction-wise, with just the construction, not the furniture and the sound system and all that, construction-wise, we're looking at right around $19 a square foot, which if you know anything about commercial construction is really reasonable. Renovating existing space, and you probably know this, is about 10 times cheaper than building new construction. Now, here's the really cool part. We are slated to have all of this completed and to be moved in by, drum roll please, April of 2018. So our contractor has given us a 2.5 month renovation timeline, and both the contractor and the architect affirm that while that's going to be tight, it is still doable because most of the renovations, most of them are carpentry related, not major structural changes. By the way, you know how at the beginning I was complaining about our shortened contract length here, how we're only contracted a month out? There's absolutely nothing for us to get out of in terms of long term. That works out totally, totally in our favor. That's interesting. So we're going to be finalizing our drawings in the next few weeks. We got to submit those to the state for approval. We're hoping to begin demolition this month and new construction beginning sometime in January. Now, obviously, things can change and get delayed. We understand that, and we will keep you posted along the way. There is an FAQ document at the connections table, which covers pretty much everything that I've said, I think, and some additional things. For those of you going, I don't care about any of this, I just want to know, will there be free coffee? Yes. So grab that. It'll be at the table today in the coming weeks as well. I just want to pause for a moment and reflect on God's provision and faithfulness to us as a church. I mean, of course, that's been true since the very beginning, but I just especially aware of it in this new season. If you would have told me 3 months ago that God was going to open the doors on a new church home that was in our budget, that was in some kind of central-ish location, so not Daleville, no offense, that had enough parking and enough space to serve us currently, but also room to grow without being more than we could like bite off. By the way, with just the 20,000 square feet, not even the whole building, with just the 20,000 square feet, we could comfortably double in size. Now, we'd have to go to multiple services, but by the way, the vast majority of churches our size are already doing that because most churches don't meet in a huge convention center. If you would have told me 3 months ago that God was going to provide us a space that did all that, and if you said the building, you told me this building was going to be owned by strong Christians who are supporting and accommodating to us and our purpose as a church, and that we could be moved in by April, I would have said, you're out of your mind, or something like that. And if you would have said, in addition to all of this, that it would be a facility in downtown Muncie, I would have said, that doesn't exist. We've looked, and it didn't exist until about 2.5 months ago. And so in all of this, we just want to stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you. Now, here's the thing. As great as it will be to finally have a church home, like for all of the benefits that will come, you think about the expanded ministry opportunities for us as a church. You think about a place for people to connect and grow in community, grow in relationship, a place where we can continue to encourage and challenge each other to grow in our faith and to be more like Jesus. For all the opportunities for us, for all the opportunities expanded to invite people to find hope in Jesus, here's what's also true. This church, what we do, it has never been about brick and mortar. It's never been about that. And this doesn't change that. I mean, you could look at this and ask, boy, 6.5 years, why didn't God open up this door sooner than that? But could it be that God wanted us to have this time, 6.5 years of getting instilled deep in our DNA over all these years, that guess what? The church isn't about a building. It's about people. It's about loving and serving our neighbors. It's about what God can do through ordinary folks like you and me who say yes to him. And so this building, even now, isn't the point of the vision. It's part of the vision, but it's not the point. And yes, it'll be nice to have a visual presence in our community. I like to joke that we're the biggest church in Muncie that nobody's ever heard of. I've never said that until right now, but it's true. It is absolutely true. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about the fact that we exist to be a blessing to others. The Apostle John says, we love because he first loved us. And we have tried and in a number of ways to embody this in our service, in our generosity. By the end of December, as a church, in the past 6.5 years, we will have given away over $350,000 which is incredible, to a local, global nonprofits, causes, people doing really great work for people who need it. And we've volunteered and we've served and we've done Old Weston cleanups and we've mentored kids and we've served at Christian ministries and we've sponsored initiatives in our partnership with Longfellow. We believe that God is calling us to downtown for a reason. And again, we've done sort of what we can. We're here for an hour and a half a week. And part of that, not knowing what the future was going to hold. And there is a psychological thing where even though we've been here as long as we have, it still had a temporary kind of feeling associated with it, which is hard to get past. But our new home, not only will simply its location offer up opportunities for us to serve and to be downtown. I don't know why this is, but you go 3 blocks that way and the need increases. Just drive down there sometime. This is not a huge crazy selling point, but the Jar, once in a while, their cars get broken into, okay? So again, that's never happened here. So there's need, even increased need around in the neighborhoods and the blocks around that. Our new location will literally be a stone's throw away from 6, at least, organizations who could use our help. The YWCA, the Women's Shelter, is right next door. Right next door. How might we be able to reach out to them? Big Brothers, Big Sisters, who just this last month we began a new partnership with and we supported financially. We've got a few folks going through training to become a big, and we'll talk more about that opportunity soon. Their offices are right next door to where we'll be, and on and on. And we don't have all that figured out. To be honest, myself, the board, the staff, we've been pretty busy getting this far in 2 months. But we do know that there is incredible need and potential. And so we want to invite you to be praying, not just about this and the future and the transition, but what might God be calling us to do next? How might he be calling us to reach out? And so we want to be open to that. We want to be willing to dream and to take a risk. Again, we're using 20,000 of what could be potentially 40,000 square feet. What could we do with another 20,000 square feet to reach out and to serve and to bless our community? Check this out. Our logo, which you've seen it before, same one we've always had. It's abstract, I know. And it's not as iconic as like Apple or Target. But here's what I bet almost no one here, like probably two people know this. These boxes represent city blocks. And the transparency and the yellow circle, which is hard to see here, there's a yellow circle behind it, represents light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And of course, that's not just us. That's all Christians. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That was a vision that we had 6.5 years ago. Today, we take another step toward that. And we believe this move will help increase our impact in a big way. Now, you've been waiting for this part. Here's where we need your help. We're going to have the ushers are going to be passing around right now cards that look like this. So please take one. You guys come forward now. One per family essentially is what you need, and pass those along. Today, we are beginning a 15-month capital campaign to cover the $500,000 project cost. And we're calling this project More Than Bricks. This is a 15-month campaign, and the reason for that is it gives you three tax years, 17, then 18, and a little bit of 19, for individuals for whom tax considerations like that factor into their charitable giving. Now, we'd like you to take these cards home, and what we're asking is that you would just spend time praying and discussing, considering how you might be able to give sacrificially toward making this happen. We obviously need all of us to do this. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your generosity. We need your willingness to join us in stepping out in faith and saying yes to God. If you've been here before for any length of time, you know obviously we have never made an ask like this in our history. You can see on the card there, if it's helpful, you can think about contributing on a monthly basis, a yearly basis, or a one-time gift. We're not sending bills or anything like that. This is purely, the only thing we're looking at and tracking is the total number. So this is just, if it helps you, kind of break down and think about how you might want to make a commitment. We are certainly not expecting anyone to make a decision today, okay? So again, take it home. Please pray. Please ask God, what role do you want me to have in this? Talk it over. Eventually, you'll be able to give online. That link is going to go live like midweek. You'll be able to give online. You'll be able to give here in person. We would like to have all the cards back by Sunday, January 14th. And so you can mail them beforehand. You can drop them in the offering anytime between now and then or bring them back with you on the 14th. And then the following Sunday, we'll announce where we stand. Now, are you ready for some more good news?
Yes.
If you've already given to this church, you've actually already contributed to the new building. Because the elder board, I think, thank God, in their wisdom, knowing a day like this was probably coming someday, we began setting aside money in a building fund, knowing that buildings aren't cheap, and we just wanted to position ourselves to be able to respond if and when God opened up an opportunity for us. And so because of that, because of your generosity, and even more importantly, because of God's provision and God's faithfulness to us over the years. We already have $200,000 in an account ready to put toward the $500,000 total. It's amazing. I know, that almost makes it look like we had a plan. But again, thank you for your generosity. We take very seriously our responsibility to steward, to be good stewards of every dollar that you give. But we still need $300,000 from this campaign to get to our total, which is less money than we've given away as a church. $300,000 to put us over the top. And so the good news is we have more than enough money. We have more than enough resources to fulfill this vision. The money is just in your bank. See? I've pretty much been dying to say that one for a long time. So, essentially, your response by January 14th, when we collect all the pledges and the commitments for this More Than Bricks campaign, that will determine partly how we where we go from here. We would prefer to do this initial renovation, which is the bulk of all of it, and get into the building without any debt. And we certainly believe that that's possible. And that's what we're praying and hoping for. We are prepared, if we need to get a short-term loan to basically bridge, you know, when renovations need to be paid for and the time when, like, all the pledges are fulfilled. Like, we'll be in the building before the end of this campaign itself in 2019. If I could add one critical thing here, and I need everyone here to please hear this next part. From the people that we've consulted about this, one of the most common things that happens in these kinds of capital campaigns is people go, look, a new building and new opportunities and new stuff for my kids and all, you know, and that's exciting and that's fun and you can literally see the results. Like, it's concrete, literally. And so what sometimes happens is people take, like, it's more fun to do that than it is to give to, like, the regular church general fund, the operating budget. And so sometimes people move their regular tithes and just move it over to the building fund. And I just want to say, that's cheating, okay? That's cheating, and all that does is, okay, so we end up with a building. Great, but then no church. So so this More Than Bricks campaign, this is above and beyond. This is above and beyond our regular giving. And so please don't just take your tithe, your regular giving, and move it over to this. Okay, someone's still going to do it. But I did my best to make that clear. This is a historic day for us as a church. What an incredible new season that we're moving into. And I just want to challenge you to, seriously, to be praying with us and for us as a church as we move into this next season. We're going to end by celebrating communion here in just a few minutes. But I've asked Joe Williamson, one of our elder board members, to come and to pray with us as we take this next step.
I'm fairly certain that there's a need to erupt. Just thought I'd tear that. This is a really exciting time. And I'm about as exciting as I've been for a long time. And I ran across a verse in the Bible that gives us a chance to kind of express that excitement. In Psalm chapter 47, verse 1, it says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Because we serve an awesome God. So if you're with me, let's erupt. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pray with me now. Father, we are so grateful for your presence with us. It's very easy for us to turn around and look behind us and see the history of where you have been involved with us from time to time significantly. So we give you thanks and we give you praise. And we honor you for your presence with us even yet today. Father, we also envision what could happen as Matt has proclaimed for us, the opportunities in front of us. We want to stay close to you, Father. Moment by moment and day by day, we surrender to your presence and ask that your peace that passes understanding would provide us with a direction and purpose that will honor you in every way. Again, we're thankful for our past. We ask you now to bless our future. Bless us this day, and we'll give you the praise in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Well, as we move into communion, I want to kind of end where we began. Advent is a time of preparation. We remember in this time that Jesus, not us, though he uses us, but Jesus is the hope of the world. John says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so we remember that in his invitation to follow him and to simply take the next step, all of us, together and individually, he doesn't promise that it's going to be easy, but he promises to always be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, that is his promise. So I want to invite the communion volunteers to come to the stations. We have them throughout the room. And I just want to remind you, if I just were to step back from and pick on one part here of something that we talked about, this promise of Emmanuel, God with us, which means that whatever you're going through, you're not alone. And I just want to say, for those of you who remember the part of the story where I was like, if you told us 3 months ago this would be happening and it would line up like this, I would have said, you're crazy. And we know this looking back, that God is faithful and that he's in the details and that he has our future. But we also know that in the moment when you are looking for options, when you're looking for a door to open, when you need something to happen and it's not happening and you see the end coming and you don't know how it's going to work out, it's not easy in those moments to trust. And so I just want to challenge you and encourage you and remind you that God is with you. Whatever your challenge is, whatever situation that you are facing, even if you can't see the way out, even if you can't see the end, that he's got it. Continue to trust him. Continue to keep your eyes on him. So let's keep that in mind as we come to the table, which is what we're invited to do, and be reminded of Emmanuel, God with us. Well, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would continue to be our focus, that in this moment we could just stop and remember once again this profound reality that we are each invited into a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. So may we come to the table, may we receive, be reminded of that life that you're extending to each one of us. And as we go, challenge us, remind us that we love because we were loved first by you. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Thank you for being with us in the form of your son, Emmanuel, and now by your spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here with us today as we worship, as we celebrate. I just want to remind you, there's the FAQ document at the back table. If you need another card, because you maybe messed yours up already, or you want to have another one to keep at home, so you have one at home, then you bring the other one back, or whatever, those are back there. If you have any other questions about this, please speak with Jeremy or myself. We'll get you your answer, or to the right person. Boy, I can't wait to see what God does in and through us next. And so as you leave today, may you leave with the peace and the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.